Hello and welcome to UK Cardcast, the podcast by non-sport trading card collectors for non-sport trading card collectors. I'm Paul Bynes and this is episode 05 and we're trading here in Allentown. In this episode we once again talk to production manager of Non-Sport Update magazine, Harris Tozer, about the recent Allentown show and about the imminent memorabilia show in Birmingham. News and gossip from the world of non-sport trading cards. Topps have announced they're doing a set based on the classic Indiana Jones films. Called Indiana Jones Heritage, there's no real details about what the set will consist of, however, some early screenshots of the cards suggest it's going to be done in a very similar style to the very popular Star Wars Heritage, that is to say, old-fashioned bubblegum-style cards depicting scenes from the films. The likelihood is that this will lead into a brand new set to mark the release of the fourth Indiana Jones film sometime next year. Promo news. And Inkworks have three promos currently available as internet exclusives on their website. That's at www.inkworks.com or www.inkworkscards.com. Inkworks cards is one word. And follow the link to free promo cards. Currently on offer, though you will have to be quick to get this one, is The Seeker, The Dark is Rising, promoting the new set for the major film release. Applications for that one have to be postmarked by the 19th of November, so you really need to be very quick to get that one, especially if you're sending in from the UK. The other two promos currently available are one for The Golden Compass, which is a set based on the film, which is itself based on the Philip Pullman novels. That one has a application closing date of the 17th of December, so you've got about a month or so from the time of me recording this to send your self-addressed stamped envelope if you're in the US, or your international reply coupon and self-addressed envelope. The other card available at the moment is Lost Season 3, and the closing date for that one is December the 17th again. More details, obviously, on the Inkworks website. Upcoming offers, which aren't available yet, but it's worth watching the website for details, and obviously as soon as details are posted, I'll mention them here. Aliens vs. Predator Requiem and Smallville Season 6, so watch, keep an eye on the Inkworks website for more details on those. Finally, a mini Cards on the Net section. Ryan Cracknell, one of the moderators on Card Talk and a thoroughly nice guy, has set up a webpage called Card of the Day. And it's a fairly simple concept. It's a blog that shows a scan of one card per day, along with some information about why Ryan's posted it or some information about the card. It's a really great fun thing. Ryan has so far posted some of the more unusual cards available out there. The first one he posted was from the 1983 top set, the A-Team, and of course shows Mr. T. Other cards featured include the John Travolta Battlefield Earth autograph, the Ricardo Montalban autograph card from the complete Star Trek movies by Rittenhouse Archive, a Knight Rider card, and most appropriately for Remembrance Day, November the 11th, a card from the Twilight Zone Shadows and Substance set issued by Rittenhouse Archives in 2002, which shows a soldier from the episode Equality of Mercy. That's all for the news. If you have any information, news or gossip you'd like to share with us, please do send us an email. Either go to the website, which is at www.cardcast.co.uk. And I'm pleased to say that I think I might finally have got over the various server issues we had with hosting the website, so that should be stable now. There's an email link directly there, or email us straight at ukcardcast@googlemail.com. I'll repeat that, that's ukcardcast@googlemail.com. All submissions gratefully received and acknowledged unless you say otherwise. And now, a little bit of music. When we're living here in Allentown. Well, that was a short clip from Billy Joel's song Allentown. That makes a perfect link to my next guest, who is rapidly becoming a living legend in the world of non-sport trading card podcasts. It's Harris Tozer, production manager of Non-Sport Update magazine and Cardcast American correspondent. Hi, Harris. How are you doing?
Very good, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Allentown. You've been talking about Allentown for the last few appearances on the Cardcast, and obviously it's over now. So how are you feeling?
Well, we are really happy with the way the show went. We're really happy that the attendance actually was an increase over the previous Philly non-sports show, which was great. Frank Ryder, who was the promoter of the show for 47-some shows, had told us that he always experienced a dip in attendance when he moved the show from one place to another. And so we're elated that we got a boost when we moved it from the Enterprise Center to the Merchant Square Mall.
How was the new venue? Because obviously it was a new thing for the show to try there.
It was good. It was very good. It's kind of cool to have it in a place like the Merchant Square Mall. For one thing, we heard a ton of comments from people saying that they really enjoyed having everybody back in one room. It's been years since Frank was able to find the venue to get everybody in one room. And I'm sure anyone who's been there will remember the Enterprise Center. We had it in two rooms plus two halls, and it was really spread out a bit. But here in the Merchant Square Mall, we were able to get everybody in one room. And the venue itself was kind of cool because there were permanent vendors that are there who sell collectibles. And so people had the opportunity to check out their stands or their stores, I should say, when they weren't in the show, which was pretty cool. Or if they brought a guest who maybe was bored with the trading cards, they were able to check out all the various vendors. There were things there for collectibles. One person had a sewing stand. They have NASCAR, all kinds of different things.
So it's not just a regular shopping mall. It's more of a specialist hobbyist sort of center, is it?
Yeah, exactly. There's no stores in there like, you know, the Gap or Disney store or something like that. These are all collectible specialty stores. And the Merchant Square Mall is an old converted warehouse type thing, but it's restored pretty nicely. And these vendors are pretty cool. There's even a sports card store in there.
Oh, we don't talk about sports cards.
Sorry.
Sports cards, there's such a thing as sports cards, Tisk. So you got,
no,
you got,
that's what people tell me.
So you got some pretty good feedback from attendees and from the dealers, yeah?
Yeah. We did a survey after late on the second day of the show, and all the dealers seemed very pleased with. They all said they did well sales-wise, the same or better than the previous Philly show. The only thing at this point that we're trying to determine is whether the next show will be a Friday and Saturday show or Saturday and Sunday show.
I was about to ask you about that because I know you've mentioned in the past previous shows have been Friday, Saturday, and I know in the last time we talked about this you had concerns about whether Saturday, Sunday would go down well with people.
Yeah, it seemed to go down pretty well. I mean, it was just like any other show. The second day was quieter than the first day. Didn't really matter that the second day this time was a Sunday versus the Saturday of last show.
Obviously, this is not the first time that Non-Sport Update has been involved in organizing a show, but it's the first time in a few years, I think. How was it for you being on the other side of the wall, so to speak?
Well, it was very, very busy. We knew that it would be, but it was just really busy. Every time you turned around, someone was asking, can we do this, or where is this, or what are we going to do when this happens? And it was a bit nerve-wracking because we were also trying to man our own stand. But all in all, it worked out very well, and there were no major flubs. So everything seemed to go pretty well. It also helped that the writers were on hand, and they were running the admittance table, which they did a good job with. And it really helped to have a lot of good help on hand that weekend.
It helped to maintain the continuity that the writers were there. It's the latest in the Philly shows. It's just a different location and you guys were behind it.
That's right.
Tell me about some of the guys who were there. I know you've discussed in past podcasts the artist Sally. Who actually turned up in the end?
Well, we had we ended up with 11 artists.
It's pretty good attendance.
Yeah. There was one artist who was not able to make it was Cynthia Cummins. But other than that, we had 11 artists there, including Joe Jesko, who was pretty much our big name. And we also had Otis Frampton, Kevin Graham, and Stephen Miller, Brian Kong, just a whole bunch of great sketch card artists. And they all seemed to get along really well. It was really cool because just on a whim, they all went to dinner, from what I understand, on Saturday night. 9 of the 11 went out to Ruby Tuesdays, which was pretty cool because it wasn't planned or anything. So would have loved to have been a fly on the wall there. That's pretty cool that there was such camaraderie between them.
Yeah. So and I assume they all got some pretty good customers turning up and people actually did with them.
That's what I hear. Otis Frampton, it was amazing. We were across from Otis Frampton, and he actually sold every sketch card that he had prepared ahead of time. He sold during the weekend, and in fact, he actually sold out early by the second day, so he was really happy about that. And I was pretty happy to hear it.
Well, yeah, that's quite amazing. I know sketch artists are more prominent on American shows. We don't have so many of them over here. I know we did one at Memorabilia a couple of years ago. There was a sketch artist. And I think he was rushed off his feet because of the demand being so high for him.
Yeah, I can remember. I think at least two that have come over. And from what I've heard, they were both really busy.
Yeah. They're getting more popular over here now. I know that the Star Wars Celebration show earlier this year had an artist alley of its own, and that was quite crowded. But
I think it's a
relatively new phenomenon as far as the collector's shows are concerned. But it's a good thing to see because it does put people in touch with the guys who create the cards and the comics.
Right.
I'm assuming you had the usual crowd of dealers and traders and as well as the artists.
Well, yeah, and we had one other thing this year that we really hadn't had before, and that was all the card manufacturers who were there. Usually you get Rittenhouse and Inkworks, and lately we've had Bryjet Marketing there, but this year we had the addition of Topps and the Topps Vault and Donruss. We just heard a lot of comments on that, too. People were really happy to have the three companies there. And that was just really neat. Donruss, this is the very first non-sports show that Donruss has ever done. They were really nice guys and really happy to be there. They promised to come back. So
their experience can't have been all that bad then if they're prepared to do another one.
Yeah. They really thanked us at the end and said it was interesting to be there. And now they have an idea of what to expect from a show like this. And they'll plan accordingly for the next Philly show.
You did a special event for Car Talkers again this year, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. We had a Car Talk breakfast on Sunday morning, and actually it was the biggest breakfast event that we've had. We had 80 people there, and that was just amazing in itself because normally we get like 30 or 40 people, which is really good, but this time we had 80 people, and that was just pretty amazing.
You didn't run out of Danishes any time.
Nope. The food was fine, and we had a ton of prizes to give away. Probably, I'd say maybe 40 or 50% of the people walked away with a prize.
You had, I'm guessing, some representatives from the car manufacturers there talking about new sets and their plans.
Yeah, we had Alan Kaplan was there, of course. He's always there, and we had a couple of the guys from Topps were there, John Williams and Jeff Zapata, and Mike Jasperson was there from the Topps Vault.
Now, I mentioned this in the news section. Topps were announcing their new Indiana Jones sets. Did they talk about that at the breakfast?
Yeah, they did, just a little bit. They were actually, I asked them about it. I asked them what they had planned, and they didn't give away too many details, but they did say that they have the Indiana Jones Heritage set coming out first, and I believe that's in March. And that's going to – I guess it will be keeping in line with their Heritage line of products. And then they'll be doing the new movie, I believe, in May. And,
right.
From what I understand, they're seeking out some sketch artists right now to get in the series. And that should be a really big one.
So I suppose it was handy that you had the artist alley there. I mean, presumably they could go around and talk to some of the artists as well.
Yeah, I'm sure some of that was going on. I understand a couple of the manufacturers were talking to some of the guys there.
Right. So any other big announcements that you can talk about, or was it all hush-hush?
Well, I believe that Inkworks was talking about their Family Guy series that they have coming out on the episode Blue Harvest, which was the Star Wars-themed episode.
Are they doing a special set for that?
Yeah. They were talking a bit about that. And then Topps was talking about the latest Wacky Package set that they have coming out, which is a bit of a diversion for them. They're doing something called Wacky Packages Flashbacks, and it will be cards featuring some of the vintage art, new style.
So overall, Harris, the show was a big success.
Yeah, it definitely was. We were really waiting to see how this would turn out, and that would help us determine the future of the show, and that would help the writers determine which way they want to go with the show.
I was going to ask you, do you have any plans now based on the success of the Allentown show to do any more, or are you going to sort of do more in cooperation with the writers?
Well, I guess the word now is we will be working with the writers. We will jointly be running the show from now on, and at least for the time being, future shows will be held at the Merchant Square Mall. And we've already determined that the next show will be the first weekend of May 2008. As I said earlier in the podcast, the only thing we don't know is whether it will be Friday and Saturday or Saturday and Sunday. And actually, if you go to the writer's website, which is writersshows.com, you'll see that question is posed right there. There's an email link if anybody wants to have their say in sure. Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday. They can go to that website and have their say.
Right. Just out of interest, most shows in the UK are held at the weekend, as in Saturday, Sunday, or on a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, if it's a bank holiday. But a lot of the shows I see reports of in America are Friday, Saturdays. Is there a particular reason why that's the case?
Yeah, there is. Usually the shows that are held in hotels where they have a banquet room or something like that, that setup usually necessitates a Friday, Saturday, because a lot of times those hotels want the Saturday nights available for a wedding or a bar mitzvah or something like that.
Right.
And usually they would, you know, they would like the show to be out of there by Saturday afternoon. So a lot of times that's why they're Friday and Saturdays. And then as the shows have continued on to other venues, people have gotten so used to the Friday and Saturday that I think the promoters have just continued with that. In fact, some of the other promoters, from what I understand, have just had their shows on Friday and Saturday just because that's the way it's been done.
The thing that puzzles me is how anybody does business on a Friday, given I'm assuming most people work Fridays.
Yeah, that's right. But I guess the collectors who are really into it will take the day off.
Right.
And usually Fridays, even though a lot of people, everybody has to work, Friday's still the big day.
So, Harris, we talked about Non-Sport Update's involvement as organisers of the show, but what we haven't done is talk about your involvement as exhibitors, because obviously, just like everybody else, you had a stand there yourself. How did that do?
We did very well. We had the encyclopedia there, and believe it or not, the encyclopedia's been out for a little while, but this is actually the first Philly show that we've had the encyclopedia at. So we were selling copies of that. We were selling our new issue and our Star Wars variant issue and things like that. We had a sneak peek of the upcoming issue with the Golden Compass on the cover for people to look at. And we were also selling some wacky package items from the Roxanne Tozer tables.
Something you might be able to help me out on here, Harris. On eBay recently, I've noticed some rather unusual promos that claim to be from the Allentown show, and they seem to be P representations of a certain well-known card manufacturer. Can you shed any light on the subject?
P-related? What could that be?
You know, yes. you know darn well what I'm talking about, Harris. We've mentioned this in the past. Go on. Fill the peas, so to speak.
Fill the peas. Well, we met up with an interesting artist several months back. His name is Douglas Ian Kooser, and he has been doing a line of something called Gotta Pee. Before your podcast listeners go running away, these are really cool and pretty cute, and they're peas doing various things. He has he has a line called Celebra Peas, which are people like Marilyn P. Monroe and the Peatles. And he has peas doing everyday kind of things. But anyway, we decided to do a small series of cards that we're calling a Peaview set with Doug. And this is making its debut. It made its debut at the Allentown show. And to promote the series, we did two promo cards that we gave away in Allentown. One of them, of course, was a takeoff on Billy Joel. And you got to have Billy Joel when you're in Allentown, just like your intro had.
Yeah.
And we also did an Alan P. Kaplan card. And this was Alan envisioned as a P. And Alan did not know anything about the card going into the show. We surprised him with it there. And we gave him a copy of the card the minute he came in, and he really liked it. In fact, he said he's going to send it to some of the licensors. So, yeah, some of those cards are floating around now.
So Uncle Alan wasn't green about the guild then. He actually liked the card.
Yeah, he did.
Have you had any reaction from Mr. Joel yet?
No, Billy is, unfortunately, he's not on our speed dial list. But from what I understand, the original art made its way to Billy Joel, and we haven't heard back what he thinks about it yet, though.
Right, so... It would be interesting to be a fly on the wall in that room when he gets a look to see that one, but there you are. So you're doing a, excuse the pun, PVU set, dear, for these cards. I'm sorry, I'm just wincing at the pun, not at anything else. How did that do at the show? Did people like it, or did they just think, yeah, okay?
Well, of course, no one was expecting it or knew anything about it, It was making its debut there, and we did pretty well with them. We sold a number of sets, and we'll have a lot more about it in the magazine in the coming months. In fact, we're going to do a P cover in January.
Fine. Is this going to be a variant or a regular issue?
It will be the regular cover for the January issue.
Oh, goody, everybody. We got something to look forward to. We're going to be returning to the God of Peas in a moment, but I just wanted to ask you about the encyclopedia. How did that do at the show, given it was its first show appearance?
You mean the encyclopedia?
Oh dear. Yeah. Okay. We're in that sort of mood, I can tell. How did the book do, Harris?
The book did very well. We sold a number of copies of those, too. As I said, it's been out for a little while now, so any of the really hardcore collectors, you know, have already purchased it, or they've bought a copy on Amazon or something like that. But we sold a number of them, and it continues to be a good seller.
Right. I know you're bringing a few copies over when you come. We're moving on now to talking about memorabilia. You're coming over to memorabilia at the end of November. I know you have mentioned you're going to be bringing some copies of the encyclopedia over. Yes. And I assume you're going to be bringing some God of P material as well.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be...
See, I told you we'd get back to God of P.
The peas, the mushy peas, yeah. They'll be making their debut in the UK at the memorabilia show in November.
Right, so there's actually this may be a little bit contrived, but there's a story about a British politician called Peter Mandelson a while back in one of the election campaigns who visited a fish and chip shop in a northern town, saw some green stuff being served and said, I'll have some of that guacamole. In fact, it was mushy peas.
Oh, boy.
So in theory, you could do an exclusive UK card called Peter Mandelson.
Yeah, but, that would definitely be exclusive to the UK, because I don't think the general population in America knows what a mushy pea is. I had never heard of it until I went to the UK for the first time.
Well, you've been over to the memorabilia show. I think this is going to be your fifth year of coming to the show. So have you not had mushy peas in all that time?
No, I'm sorry, but I just can't work myself up to eating one of them. And I have not tried a pea fritter either, but...
Well, nor have I. I've never even heard one.
Oh, I've seen those, but I haven't tried it. But I have tried the peas with the fish and chips, which are quite good.
Yeah, no, that's good. So you're obviously doing memorabilia again.
Yeah.
Looking back, I mean, the first time I actually met you in person was way back in 2003 when you did your very first memorabilia show. How have you noticed the show changing over the years?
Well, it's that's a good question. That's a good question. It's still a very strong show. The first year I did it was, I think, the last year that Henry, I can't remember his last name, was the promoter of the show. That was when he owned it, and it was just a a single person who owned the show and ran it with his crew. And after that, it changed to Expo Management, and it, as I said, it continues to be a strong show. It's definitely a bit of a different atmosphere now than when I first started going.
Sure. So the fact that you still come over every year indicates it must be a reasonable show for you to come to. Is it actually worth traveling all this way over to do the show? Is it more of a getting your presence known out, the getting your brand name known out there?
Well, it's both. It continues to be worthwhile. We do very well at the show, and it's the only opportunity that we get to interact with the UK collectors. From what I understand, I believe it's still the strongest card-related show in the UK, and it's a fun time. So it's definitely worth it.
Sure. Obviously, you mentioned it's a good opportunity to meet up with UK collectors. And obviously, I've met you every single time. And the fact that you're still coming over means you can't be majorly objected to me. In past years, I know you've brought over back issues. You've even brought some of the real early back issues over, and I know they've sold pretty well. And you've brought the current issues and some of the variants. What particular products have you noticed sell particularly well?
Some of the same things that sell well here, of course, you know, any of the big products with Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, things like that sell very well there.
Given you've been coming over the last few years, do you find people are more familiar with Non-Spot Update as a magazine now? Do they tend to buy just a magazine, or do they look at some of the other products that you tend to bring over?
I think that people are familiar with us by now. They've either found us on the web or they found us on the Card Talk website. You know, we are the only magazine right now, both in the UK and the United States, for collectors of non-sport cards. So they've anyone that's a card collector has probably come across us by now. We've continued to do well there, and people are interested, I think, in seeing what we have to offer.
Sure. How does the somewhat fluctuating dollar rate, exchange rate, affect what you do when you come over here? Because obviously the rate has gone to the benefit of UK people over the last year or so. But that must hit you as far as the costs of bringing stuff over is concerned.
Yeah, that's a double whammy there between those two things that you've said. The cost of getting things to the UK, as I'm sure everybody knows, is just crazy. And the exchange rate continues to be from what I understand, it's at an all-time high right now for the people of the UK, and at a low for the people of the US. So that makes, I guess, everything very expensive, and it's tough.
Yeah, at time of recording, I think the bank rate is like $2.10 to the pound, which is the highest it's been for about 18 years.
That is amazing. That is just amazing. Yep. I remember the first year I came over, it was around, I think, 1.7. And I remember speaking with somebody who was a travel agent, and she had said that, dollar to pound rate is at an all-time high right now. And that was 5 years ago, and it's gotten that much worse.
Right. So I assume it's affected the pricing that you'll be having at the show.
Yeah, to some extent it has. Lowering our price, because tried to keep things the same all these years and been charging, I believe, £4 for our issues over the years. But now £4 has gotten to be quite a disparity between £4 and dollars these days. So we're actually lowering the pound price a little bit to make it a little more competitive.
Sure. So what sort of stuff are you going to have on the stand this year, Harris? Because apart from anything else, anybody that knows me will know I tend to be one of those loyal supporters that helps you out on the stand. So it'd be nice for me to know what you're selling.
Well, sure. Yeah. You're one of the three musketeers, aren't you?
Indeed. Yes. And I know the vast majority of the three musketeers are going to be there again this year. So it'd be helpful.
Well, we'll have a mix of we'll definitely have our current issue, of course, which by the time Memorabilia rolls around, which is just a week or so from now, will be our new December-January issue with the Golden Compass on the cover. And we'll have a couple of back issues there and a couple of variants. We'll have the Star Wars issue, which is pretty new. And we'll have, I believe, the Elvis variant issue. And that will obviously be the first time that those variant issues have been over there. We'll have the encyclopedia for sale there. We'll have the Gotta Pee sets, of course, that we just talked about. And maybe one or two other surprises.
The variant issues, I know that the Star Wars variant was an exclusive to the Chicago show, wasn't it? Will you be bringing many of those?
There'll be a limited amount that we'll have on hand. Obviously, we're not going to have a lot of anything over there because it's just so darn expensive to get anything in. But we will definitely have copies over there.
So if anybody's planning to come up for the weekend, they'd probably be a good thing if they came to your stand fairly early to try and get hold of some of the more limited editions.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate the plug there, Paul.
That's okay. In past years, you've done special offers on subscriptions as well, because obviously for anybody wanting to buy your magazine by subscription direct, it can work out a little expensive. But you've usually done at the show special deals. Are you doing another one this year?
Yes, we definitely are. We will be offering subscriptions and renewals for 22 pounds, I believe. We normally charge $60 for a subscription or renewal. So 22 pounds works out to in the low 40s. So that's quite a significant savings over subscribing online. And we do that to try and get some of the collectors to come see us at the show.
Sure. So it's always a good idea to make a visit. And you've got quite a good position this year, I understand.
Yeah, we're very close to the front entrance, I believe. I think we're either at C42 or C43. One of those two stands will be next to Paul Hart. He has the other stand, so I'm not quite sure who will have which table yet, but or stall, as you call them over there in the UK.
Sure.
But we'll be near the front entrance, from what I understand.
So you've magically been moving through the hall. I know the first year you were at the back somewhere, and I think the second year you were opposite the food concessions. So somewhere up the front is quite a good position for a change.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, it's a little early to say anything about whether you're planning special events for collectors. We have tried to do something in previous years, but it's a little close to the date to be able to work out anything this year, isn't it?
Just a bit. We're trying. We really would like to have a special event for the online NSU Card Talk members, and we're trying to secure some space right now. But so far, we haven't gotten anything worked out yet, but we continue to work on that.
Right. Well, if anything is planned, then it'll be posted in the Card Talk bulletin board. So if anybody is interested and would like to know details, then they might want to go along to the Non-Sport Update website, go to the Card Talk message board and see if anything's been posted in there.
Yeah, sure. And maybe even by the time that the podcast comes out, we will have something resolved, because we're really not quite that far away from the show. So, yeah.
No, it's about at time of recording, we're about literally two weeks away. So,
right. So hopefully something will work out over the next few days, and as soon as we have something worked out, it'll be on Card Talk.
Anything else you want to talk about as far as memorabilia or Allentown or Gotter P or any other products is concerned?
Well, I'm really looking forward to the memorabilia show. It's always a good time, and it's a great show. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the usual faces there, and maybe some new faces as well.
Just one little tip off to any dealers planning to attend, non-card dealers planning to attend memorabilia, especially if you do CDs. Get your stock of 80s CDs up, because Harris is always on the prowl. I've been with Harris in a number of record stores, and he spends hours prowling over the 80s. If you've got any particularly rare Depeche Mode promo releases, I know he's keen on those. So
yeah, I'm the buyer.
He's the man, and he will have money.
Well, I don't know.
As long as he sells subscriptions, he'll have money.
Yeah, we talked about the dollar's not really worth a whole lot there, so you'll have to give me a break.
He'll have some money, not as much. But if you don't see him at the stand, then have a look at where the CD stands are, because I'm sure you'll find him there at some point.
That's true. That is where I will be, if anybody is there with CDs.
Yeah. One thing I did want to say is, obviously, every year you come over to memorabilia, which means that every year you manage to miss on the Thanksgiving celebrations.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't had Thanksgiving here for, I guess it's 5 years now.
We keep trying to make up for it by bringing him turkey-flavored crisps, but he's not having it.
No, not quite the same thing.
Well, maybe this year we'll give you some mushy peas.
Oh.
Turkey and mushy peas. There you go.
I don't know. You mean turkey crisps, which are turkey potato chips for us U.S. people.
Yeah.
Not quite the same thing. Not quite the same thing. I'm not having.
Just to round up the discussion, you mentioned that one of the things you're going to be selling at the memorabilia stand is the brand new issue, the December-January. I know you said it's got the Golden Compass on the cover. What else is the magazine doing this year?
Well, yeah, as I said, it does have the Golden Compass on the cover, which looks to be a pretty cool movie. I guess the big thing that everyone will be looking for in this issue is we have an exclusive Heroes card. Topps was not able to give us a Heroes card that we had promised for the last issue, so to make up for it, they gave us an exclusive Heroes card numbered P5 that no one will be able to find anywhere other than in this issue of Non-Sport Update. So that is really cool.
That's more or less a limited number card, because that card will only be found in the magazine, yeah?
That's right. That's right. So we have the exclusive Heroes card, and we have a Golden Compass promo, and we have an Aliens versus Predator Requiem promo in this issue. And then we have some cool, you know, our usual lineup of cool articles. We have articles about Lost and the brand new Americana set, and we have an article about the complete Star Trek movies, And we have an article about the old classic Roundup series from Topps. So it's all in all our usual stuff.
Sure. Okay. So if you want to get that Heroes card and buy the magazine, because let's face it, the reason most people buy the magazine is to read the articles and check the price list. This is a good one to pick up. It's got that exclusive Heroes card, and it's got cracking interview, cracking articles in there.
Yep. And as I was saying to you off air a minute ago, it should be interesting to see which copies make it over there first, the subscriber copies or the copies that we bring over for the table.
Oh, that's right. Yes, because you were saying, I think, that this should be hitting American newsstands sometime later this week, maybe. And it won't even get to the UK, in theory, much before the show.
That's right. So probably we'll be hitting about the same time. All the subscription copies and store copies and things like that are, well, as they say, they're in the mail now. And so I guess copies will be hitting here in America towards the end of this week. Copies in the UK should be hitting around the time of the memorabilia show.
So if you want to get the latest issue of Non-Sport Update magazine, your best chance might be to go to the memorabilia show on the 24th and the 25th of November. That's a Saturday and Sunday. Visit the NSU stand and you'll be able to pick up the latest issue and a whole load of other stuff.
Great.
And if you're there, it's worth picking up a subscription at the special rate.
Yep, thank you very much.
And you'll also get a chance to meet Harris Tozer in person. He'll be charging £10 for autographs, no body parts.
Yeah, I don't think so, and I don't really know if that's much of a reason for people to come, but I still hope they'll come anyway.
Well, if you don't want to meet Harris Tozer, then come to the non-sport stand anyway, because you'll meet me. And if you're not careful, I might even interview you. So I will be recording the next episode of the podcast, episode 6, at the memorabilia show. So,
oh, that's cool.
Watch this space for special promotions. So, Harris, as ever, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Same to you.
And the next time we speak will probably be in person. Have a safe trip over.
Well, thank you very much, and looking forward to seeing you there.
Okay. That was Harris Tozer, production manager of Non-Sport Update magazine, a regular contributor to the UK Cardcast. And as I discussed at the end of that, he will be over for the memorabilia show at the NEC Birmingham on the 24th and 25th of November. And you can get more details about Non-Sport Update magazine at their website, which is nonsportupdate.com. Well, that's the end of this episode of UK Cardcast. Hopefully you've found something in it that's enjoyable, interesting or entertaining. As I discussed with Harris Tozer in the episode, I will be at the memorabilia show at the NEC Birmingham on between the 24th and 25th of November. So if you want to come up and say hi, come along to the Non-Sport Update stand and make yourself known to me. I will be doing some promotions at the show. I'm not going to give you any details, so if anybody wants to possibly win a prize, I'm saying no more than that. Keep an eye out at the show. Otherwise, your next time you'll hear from me will be sometime in December when I record episode 6, which will be looking back at the show and hopefully having a few interviews with dealers, manufacturers and fellow collectors. If you're up for being interviewed and you're going to be at memorabilia, either come to the Non-Sport Update stand on either Saturday or Sunday and let make yourself known to me. Or if you want to make advanced plans for the thing, send me an email at ukcardcast@googlemail.com and we'll see if we can sort something out. UK Cardcast is recorded using Pamela for Skype, edited using Audacity, and compiled using GarageBand on an Apple Mac G4 using a Logitech headset. The website is hosted by Amen World. The podcast episodes themselves are hosted by archive.org, and the domain name is handled by 1&1. Email service is provided by Gmail. Theme and incidental music provided by Sapphire Moon. Remember, one pack is not enough, even if you get it cheap at a show.